case you're not aware of, this will be the last Lord's Day we will gather for worship this year, 2021. For good or for bad, this week we're going to close the books on 2025, and we're going to begin a new year. This coming Thursday is New Year's Day. And being New Year's Day, what are we going to all do? We're going to all be making our New Year's resolutions. And some of us are going to resolve to lose weight. And we're going to resolve to eat better. And we're going to resolve to exercise more. Other folks might resolve to do away with some of their bad habits. Other folks might resolve that they're going to begin having new habits that are good things. Here's the problem. With many, if not most, if not all of our New Year's resolutions, most of our New Year's resolutions, although they are well-intentioned, they never really come to pass. How many of us are planning to make some New Year's resolutions this weekend? How many of us will break at least one of those before sunset New Year's Day? Absolutely. You know, I remember reading about a youngster one time asked his dad, he said, "Dad, what do you plan to do as far as your New Year's resolution this year?" And he said, "Son, I'm going to do everything within my power." He asked his mother, he says, "Mom, what is your New Year's resolution?" She said, "I'm going to do everything possible to make sure your father keeps his resolution." But the question has to be asked, why? Why do we make New Year's resolutions? We make New Year's resolutions because there are areas in our lives that we are either unhappy with or areas in our lives where we want to be better. Do you actually know what the number one resolution is that's made every year? The number one resolution that's made every year on New Year's is that I'm going to lose weight. A woman came into the bathroom one morning and her husband is standing on the scale. And as her husband is standing on the scale, he is sucking in his stomach with every ounce of strength that he can muster. But she did what wives do best, and she laughed at him. And she politely informed him, she says, "Dear, sucking in your stomach is not going to make your weight any better." And he politely informed her, "Yes, it will." She says, "How? How is it going to do anything about your weight if you suck in your stomach?" He said, "Because if I don't suck in my stomach, I can't see the numbers on the scale." I guess I told you all that. Speaking of New Year's resolutions, our text this morning comes from the pen of the Apostle. It's one of my favorite passages. It's in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Paul says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended it, but this one thing I do. Forgetting the things that are behind, and reaching forth unto the things that are before, I press for the prize, the mark of the high calling of God. Paul says, forgetting the things that are as we prepare to start a new year, and as we prepare to start a new year in the service of the Lord, what Paul writes there in that Philippian letter is sound, practical advice. Because we can learn some lessons. Whether we want to admit it or not, all of us have an imperfect past. There's not one of us that can look at our past and not see something that we're ashamed of. All of us have blemishes. All of us have stains. And all of us have things we just assume no one knew about and that we ourselves would really like to forget. And as great a saint as Paul was, as great a servant of the Lord as Paul was no different than I am or than you are. Paul had a pretty ugly past. He persecuted the church. He held the clothes of those that stoned Stephen. After the stoning of Stephen, you read about Saul. And it says, as with Saul, he was breathing out threatenings and slaughter, and Saul made havoc of the church. I'm guessing that after Paul came to know Jesus Christ, Paul had a lot of time to reflect on the shame of what he had done in persecuting Christians. You see, Paul was a religious man even before he met Jesus. Before he came face to face with Jesus on that road to Damascus, Paul was a religious man. He was a Pharisee. And he says he was a Pharisee's Pharisee. He was on the fast track to being someone important, to being a big man among the religion, the established religion of that day, which was the Pharisee. Paul could quote Scripture. He attended the synagogue regularly. And yet, when Paul came to know Jesus Christ, all of his religious knowledge and all of the Scripture he was able to quote, all of that became nothing. And it gave him a past that he was not proud of. Yes, Paul had an imperfect. Guess what? We do too. Our past is imperfect. And our past is imperfect because of sin in our lives. But here's the good news. Forgetting the things that are behind, Paul said, and reaching forth to the things that are before, I press toward the prize, the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We do not have to be a slave to the past. Paul could have thought about the life he had lived. He could have thought about the fact that he had persecuted Christians. He could have thought about the fact that he had put Christians to death. He could have thought about the fact that his past was ugly and marred. And when he thought about the kind of life he lived, Paul could have just given up. He had put people in prison. He put people to death for being Christians. When we're first introduced to him, as I said a moment ago, when we first meet Saul of Tarsus, the Apostle Paul, he's holding the clothes of those who stoned Stephen. Paul could have said, man, there's no call for me. I've been such a bad person. I've done so much in conflict with Jesus Christ. There's no way the Lord can use me in my in his kingdom. And yet Paul insisted that he had something worth moving. Paul could look back. Paul could see that Jesus Christ had redeemed him from the past. And in our text he says, in spite of the past, in spite of what's gone on before, in spite of what I've done, I'm going to be moving on. Paul recognized his past. Paul recognized he had a dark past. But Paul refused to be a slave to the past. You see, when Paul wrote this letter to the church at Philippi, Paul was just a few years before his execution. He was under house arrest. There was a Roman guard with him, guarding him as a prisoner of Rome, guarding him at all times. So here's a man writing this letter filled with hope. A man with an imperfect past and then years of a fruitful ministry. Write this down. It's on your final exam. No matter our current circumstances, whether individually or whether collectively as a church, we can move on, we can press forward, and we can do bigger, better, and greater things in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. But, moving on, moving forward, is not something that happens by accident. Moving on from the past and moving forward and doing great things only happens by intentional and determined effort. And there's one word that does not work well in serving the Lord. And that one word that doesn't work well in serving the Lord is convenience. Paul says in this passage, I press for the prize, the mark of the high calling of God. I press on, he says. I strive. I labor. That word press on, it carries with it the idea of straining, of striving, of pressing forward, of labor, intensive labor. Paul says, I strain for what is ahead. Because Paul tells us the goal is worth the effort. What does Paul call it? Paul calls it a prize. I press for the prize of the mark of the high calling of God. I press for the prize. And folks, it's not the kind of prize you get in a box of Cracker Jacks. When the focus of our life is on living for Jesus, you win. When the focus of our life is living for Jesus Christ, you win the prize, you press on. I'm firmly convinced, the longer I live, the older I get, I am firmly convinced that one reason that some people have such a lukewarm relationship with Jesus Christ is that they see the work and they see the effort that's involved in living for Jesus. But somehow those of us who preach the gospel have failed to picture the prize. We fail to picture the beauty of the prize of that place called heaven, but not only that, we fail to picture the beauty of the prize that comes from serving others and serving the Lord and living God's kind of life in this present age. People see the work, but they don't see the prize. We're starting a new year this week. A new year in the service of the Lord. And if our relationship with Jesus over the past year has been lukewarm, we can turn that page. We can change that page. Because lukewarmness, that is not what Jesus wants for you and for me. Jesus wants us to be on fire. Loving Him. Serving Him. And living for Him in every area of our lives. And during the coming year, we can spend more time in the study of the Word. And we can spend more time in prayer. Especially in prayer. We spend more time in the Word of God and we let God speak to us through His Word. But what we need to find time to do more than anything else is to spend time talking to God in prayer. We need to learn to be able to tell God the deepest needs of our heart, the deepest desires of our heart. We've got to get past lip service to God and have prayer. If we as individual Christians are going to do great things for God, and if we as a church are going to do great things for God, we've got to be on fire. We've got to have a deep burning fire inside our hearts. We've got to have a heavenly bone fire and be on fire. We've got to turn the page. But we've also got to turn another page. Now, this one hurts. Because this one gets down where we really are. We've got to turn the page on unforgiveness and resentment. Now, let's be honest. Over the years, there are those of us that have been hurt and been hurt deeply. There are those of you sitting right here that over the years have been hurt deeply. And then there are others that just got their feelings hurt. You want to really get your feelings hurt, cut, Richard? I can tell you a lot of things people said about me through the years. And some of them you wouldn't want to repeat at midnight in a dark alley with the stars punched out. But you know, the problem is that so often folks hold on to those hurts. Folks hold on to those resentments and refuse to forgive those who ask God. Do you know what Paul would write in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26? In Ephesians 4 and verse 26, Paul writes, "Don't let the sun go down." I've known folks over the years that have seen hundreds of sunsets go down their anger. I know some folks today still watching the sun go down on their anger, and they still think they're filled with the Spirit. Being unable to forgive. Being unwilling to forgive. That's about one of the most dangerous things we can do. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said that if we'll forgive, God's going to forgive us. You know what else Jesus said? If we're not willing to forgive, God's not willing to forgive us. So when you're ready to start a new year, we've got to forget those things that have hurt us. We've got to forget those who've done things and said things that hurt the church. There may be those that have said unkind things. They may have said or done things that have hurt the church. But we cannot, we must not dwell on those things. We must realize they will answer to the God of heaven for their actions and for their words, and we have to forgive. But we cannot, and we must not, let bitterness and unforgiveness take root in our heart and rot our souls. We've also got to turn the page on mediocrity. anybody can be mediocre. Over the years, I've seen a lot of folks that did a really good job of living for Jesus. I don't care what you're doing, whether it's athletics, academics, business, or career. I don't care what it is, excellence in any area is rarely achieved without intention. Excellence in the work of the Lord, excellence in the service of Jesus Christ is not achieved without intention. But we have an opportunity. We have an opportunity to make a new beginning. I love the words of the poet, Aretha Fletcher. I wish that there were some wonderful place called the land of beginning and end, where all our mistakes and all our heartaches and all of our poor selfish grief could be dropped like a shabby old coat at the door and never be put on again. For what had been hardest, we'd know had been best, and what had seemed lost would be gained. For there isn't a sting that will not take wing when we face it in the laughter of the land. And I think that the laughter is most what we're after. And the land. You see, with Jesus Christ, we can make a new beginning. The New Testament is filled with examples of those who made new beginnings. It's filled with those whose lives were in tatters and ruins. Those who had no promise of a bright future. I think about that little bow-legged Jewish tax collector, the name of Zacchaeus. He heard that Jesus was coming to Jericho and he wanted to see him, and the crowd was so great he couldn't get through. He goes running, as you see it, and you see his little short legs running ahead of the crowd, running ahead of Jesus, and he climbs up in that sycamore tree. And Jesus passes by and he looks up. He says, "Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to your house today." And Jesus went home with that little tax collector. He wasn't just a tax collector, he was the chief tax collector. Was a rich man. I would love to know exactly what Jesus said to him that day. But whatever Jesus said to him, it changed his life. Zacchaeus says, "Lord, if I have taken anything wrongfully from any man," he said, "I'm going to take half of my goods and give it away. Give away half of everything I've got. And I'm going to give it to the poor." And Dr. Luke says he was a rich man. And he gave half of everything he had to the poor. And he said, "If I've taken anything wrongfully from any man, I'm going to restore it to him four times over." Jesus changed his life. And he had a new beginning after he met Jesus. When Saul of Tarsus was on the road to Damascus to persecute Christians, and he came face with that bright light knocking to his knees, and the voice said, "Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who art thou, Lord? I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest." "What would you have me to do, Lord?" "Go into the city, there will be told you what you should do." Ananias, the preacher, came and said, "Saul, why tarriest thou? Arise, be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." And Saul told Agrippa, and Paul told Agrippa, and he said, "I was not disobedient to that heavenly vision." And so the great persecutor of the church, the greatest persecutor the church had ever known, became the greatest preacher the church had ever known. And he gave us our text this morning, "Forgetting what's behind and reaching forth to what's before, I press for the prize, the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." The Pharisees brought a woman to Jesus in the morning. They dragged her through the city streets. She was crying. They threw her down at the feet of Jesus. And "Lord, we caught this woman in adultery. The law says we should stone her. What sayest thou?" Jesus looked at those Pharisees with those stones in their hand. And he said, "Let the one among you without sin cast the first stone." One by one, you heard the thud as those stones dropped on the pavement. And they walked away. And Jesus looked at that woman in his deep crying. And he said, where your accuser says, no man condemn you. She says, no man, Lord. He said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. She got a new beginning. Zacchaeus saw the woman caught in adultery. All got a new beginning because of Jesus Christ. You know what? You and I have a new beginning too. Maybe you've never started to live for Jesus. Maybe you've never made Jesus the Lord and Master of your life. You can change that. You can come and obey in faith. You can come and obey in faith, repenting of sin, confess the name of Christ, and be buried in the water of baptism, and start living for Jesus Christ. Or if you've done that in the past, but you haven't lived like the Lord commands you to live, you can change that too. You remember Peter? Peter said, Lord, I go with you to prison to death. Jesus said, Peter, before the cock crows, he did. But after Peter's great denial, after Peter's great failure, Peter repented and he wept and he came back to be the great preacher. He came back strong. Are there changes you need to make? Do you need to make changes for Jesus to be the Lord and Master of all your life? Can we help you make those changes? This is the opportunity to come. Let us hear.